Okay, high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, Andrew, welcome to the Media Industry Guru Podcast. Very excited to have you on and looking forward to hearing your adventures as a producer, recording, and touring live sound engineer.
Great. Yeah. Happy to be here.
So to get started, what got you interested in that side of the music industry? Do you have any mentors or what got you passionate about that specific area?
Well, I guess I started as a musician. I went to school for music and then was a working musician, and I was playing a lot of heavy metal. I was in a thrash band, and this is in the late 90s. And I figured out that the sound guy was getting paid first, and usually more. And so I went to school for audio engineering at the recording workshop in Chillicothe, Ohio, and I got a job in a recording studio. And all went from there.
Wow. And do you currently reside in Ohio? Do you do your work there, or do you do your work in... I know some of the major areas for music are obviously LA, New York, and Nashville.
No, I live in Queens, New York.
Oh, okay. Great.
Yeah, I grew up in Columbus, Ohio.
Okay. I guess kind of reflecting on that, what was the shift like in terms of music style coming from Ohio to New York?
Well, it was kind of a long road in between. I lived in a lot of other places before I got to New York.
Okay.
Yeah, I lived in DC for a while, Richmond, mm-hmm. Virginia, Baltimore. I was in Philly for 10 years,
sure.
Which was great. Interesting is, you know, all of those towns are great music towns. I've found mostly that music is pretty universal. So mm-hmm. Anywhere you go, people are creating. There's all different kinds of music. You know, there's a pocket for a scene in every town. So mm-hmm. whether you're into rock music or hip hop or R&B or whatever sure. it is that you do, like, that community exists wherever you are. It's just some places the communities might be smaller.
Sure.
They might be bigger, might take a little bit more work to get into them, but you know, mm-hmm. whatever you're into, it's everywhere.
And do you mix for a certain genre? I know producers like to work in a specific area, or their really expertise is in one certain genre, although they may tap into other areas.
Not really. I like all kinds of music, and I get bored easily, so I don't want to do, you know, any one thing in particular. You know, like I said, all kinds of music are really interesting to me. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I kind of end up doing a lot more of one thing or another. Just sort of ends up that way. Mm-hmm. I've noticed over the years that everything kind of ebbs and flows and into different genres sure. and stuff like that. And with my live work, for years and years and years and years, I was doing mostly R&B and hip hop. And in the last 10 years, I've moved into more of like a classic rock, or maybe vintage rock is maybe a better way to say that.
And
the studio work has been the same thing. It's been, you know, I'll kind of get sure. into a genre for a while, mm-hmm. and it just kind of keeps coming to me that way. It's not that I specifically go after, you know, one genre of music or another.
Sure. Okay. And tell us some of the similarities and differences in terms of like putting on your producer hat and then putting on your sound engineer hat. Like, there's a similarity, but there's also a difference. One's obviously live, and the other one, if you happen to mess up, you can luckily sometimes re-record it, edit it, etc.
Yeah, sure. I mean, the live work, you know, you get one shot at it today, and then you get another shot at it tomorrow, and so forth. But my live work, I tend to mix a lot of monitors. I'm dealing with, which is very different. I'm dealing with a lot of the personality of the artist on stage and mm-hmm. what they're thinking and feeling, because that's going to kind of impact how things sound to them for the day. So there's a lot of that sort of stuff. And also sure. the mix monitors, I've got, you know, any number of different mixes all going on at the same time that all need to be managed individually and appropriately. Whereas, you know, when I'm producing, you know, I'm dealing with, you know, with the artist in a slightly different capacity where I need to help them get in the direction that they are trying to go. And that takes, you know, that's a little bit more of the psychological stuff, you know, that I will deal with mixing monitors. But, you know, it's a lot of just trying to figure out what it is that they're trying to say and help them say it.
And it's not just a one man band. You have like a crew of people that you work with, collaborate with to get everything rolling, right?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it depends kind of how you want to frame that. But like when I'm producing, it's pretty much just me. I don't like to have a lot of people around. Because I like to keep that, I like to keep that relationship close with the artist where it's more comfortable for them, I find, where they can feel more open to talk to me about stuff or say what they need to say about it. You know, I like this or I don't like that, or, you know, you're a jerk, whatever. it's easier to have that communication if there are fewer people around. So, you know, when we're working in the studio, there'll be an assistant and that's about it.
Yeah.
I usually do the engineering myself. And I'll just have an assistant help me.
And what about like the live space? Do you have like any teammates like double checking? Sometimes I feel like even if one individual double checks, triple checks everything that's good to go, you might not notice there's one thing that you need to tweak, some sort of nature like that. Do you have like any other teammates that you work, collaborate with on the live side?
Yeah, and the live world is very, very different. There are a lot of people involved in what goes on live. You know, there are system engineers, and then there are the mixing engineers, and then there are people that help, you know, in between all that stuff. So, you know, I'll have a system engineer that will make sure that things are set up correctly and assembled properly and all that sort of stuff. And then that leaves me free to mix the show and deal directly with the artist in that way. I do, you know, I don't always have the luxury of having a system engineer, so I do have to do that sometimes, but there's always some sort of team going on.
Okay. And what have been like some monumental highlights of your career? Any artists that you got to collaborate with that you either looked up to or just really enjoyed, or any live event experiences that really resonated with you?
Oh yeah. Yeah. There's been lots. You know, I was with Jill Scott for a couple of years, and that was amazing. Working with those musicians was just out of this world. Those guys are so amazing. Yeah, Jill Scott, Brian McKnight, was with him for a long time. He's really great to work with. Oh, geez, I'm kind of blanking now. there's been so many. It's just been, you know, I've been doing this for, I'm on my way to 30 years now.
Wow.
So, yeah.
That's such an epic journey, being 30 years in the same career path. Are there any venues either like in New York or like Philly that you really enjoyed like working like with the artists or even like doing it like live?
Yeah, I mean there's great venues all over the place. I love the Beacon in New York. It's a place is just, you know, it's been here for a million years, and you can really feel the history in the place when you're there. Another great Red Rocks, Colorado, in Denver. That place is amazing.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's a big amphitheater.
Yeah, it's a big place. It's really interesting to be in there.
And what I know you mentioned a little bit about your educational background, doing music recording and production. How did you acquire did it just involve like hands-on experience, I'm assuming, like over the course of those years, just training and training and training? It's not just like watching a YouTube video and just fiddling with some buttons and then you're good to go. It's like a lot of extensive timing and obviously working on it and practicing and practicing and practicing, right?
Yeah, I mean, this business is never... You know, it's not like math or something, you know, where you learn how to do the math and then you just do it. You know, there's no like, you're constantly learning and evolving because music is constantly evolving.
Sure.
And in order to get things right, either as a live engineer or as a recording engineer or producer, whatever, like you have to move with those things. So I'm constantly like, I still take classes and seminars all the time. I'm, you know, If I'm not working, I'm probably in a watching a seminar or a video or something like that. Like, it's just never, you just never stop, you know, you just never stop swimming.
And speaking of that, like, are there any, since you also keep on learning and evolving and growing your career, are there any resources that you would recommend for people that want to be in your shoes? Like any videos that you've watched, any workshops people can attend, et cetera?
Sure, yeah. There's lots of really great resources. More so now than there has ever been. It's amazing how much knowledge is being shared, and stuff that you could never access before. I mean, when I
True.
started working in recording, you know, it was no like you didn't have access to this stuff. You know, not everybody could have a studio in their home. Like, there was you didn't have a laptop that could do really any very much. Like, my first PC that I had, you know, 20 odd years ago, had a massive hard drive. It was so cool. It was 8 gigs, 8 gigabytes.
Oh,
So,
wow. That's very small.
yeah. Figure out what you can do with 8 gigabytes now. You burn through that in 4 minutes.
Yeah, I think that'd be the wrap of our episode.
Yes, yeah, we'd be finished by now for sure. But you know, yeah, there just wasn't access to stuff. So to be able to learn to record and learn to mix and do all that stuff, like, you had to get yourself in the room. You know, I was lucky. I was able to get into a studio because I had picked up like a couple little bits of very good information, and I was able to apply them quickly. You know, my first, basically my interview at the first studio that I worked at, was called the studio was called Amerisound Studios in Columbus, Ohio, and Dan Green was the owner, and he's recently passed away. But he interviewed me, and he said, "Okay, well, you know, we've got a hip hop session coming in, so why don't you stick around for that?" And that was amazing to just be allowed to be there to a real working session. And then the artist whose name I cannot remember right now had made a mistake, and we needed to punch in the vocal. And this guy's got to be the fastest rapper I'd ever heard. And he messed up one word in a line, and he wanted to fix it. And
Oh,
so
gosh.
Dan turns around and he says, "You're going to punch that in." And I got it, you know, it was just, you know, record, unrecord, you know. It just in the blink of an eye, I got the one word, and he said, "Okay, I'll see you tomorrow."
Wow. Yeah, it's interesting how like artists are so meticulous about that with producers too, but at the same time, they want their work to be very polished. So it makes sense.
Yeah, and I got to work, you know, with Dan for at least a year. I think I worked with him for about a year, and but I was able to sit and be in the room when he was doing sessions, and to have that sort of access to watch to somebody who is a veteran, you know, a very good veteran recording engineer and producer, and watch them work, and then be allowed to help at times, and to learn. That was like the only way to get that sort of information at the time, was you had to luck out and get in the room, which, you know, you'll hear me say that maybe kind of a lot, like, get in the room. It's hard to get in the room, but if you're in the room, you cannot waste that opportunity. But anyways, yeah, so now there are so many resources. It's so easy. The things that don't change, you need to have drive. You have to say, I'm gonna do this, and that's it, you know.
A lot of it's a combination of things, but a lot of it is the person's motivation and just enthusiasm for the career and subject matter.
Yeah, you have to say, I'm gonna do this, and that's it. And you have to focus and keep doing it, because you're gonna make, I mean, I make mistakes all the time. Like, I still mess stuff up all the time, like everybody does it. But you have to, you can't, you know, you're gonna screw up, and you gotta keep going. You gotta do it again, you know. But yeah, if I could recommend anything, I would say, you know, there's probably three that are very good, very, very good resources. First to me is nailthemix.com. I definitely would recommend them. It's a subscription. All these are subscriptions, but there's something there for everybody, no matter what level career you're in. That is an excellent, excellent, excellent resource. They give you the opportunity
Oh,
to
cool.
be in the room, basically, without actually being in the room. And it is geared more towards, you know, hard rock, heavy metal, that sort of stuff. So if that's not your cup of tea, there's still a lot to be learned from it. But I could understand if you don't want to listen to that stuff all the
Sure.
time. But other options are the Warren Huart thing, Produce Like a Pro, I think it is. That stuff's good. Another, it's another thing, just it gets you in the room without having to be in the room.
Yeah.
And the other one I would say was Mixed with the Masters, which they that thing is cool because they take that one step further about being in the room. You get to you do have the opportunity, at great expense, to be in the room sometimes. So that's
Okay.
something to look at, that's something to look into.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, thanks for sharing these. These sound like really great resources, whether you're a big hard rock fan or even not. You still can learn quite a large amount of content that could be applicable to literally, basically, almost any genre.
Yeah, and I would say if you do manage to get yourself in the room, shut up and listen.
Listen and soak it all in. I agree. Are you, by the way, in a union or are you non-union? And if so, can you elaborate a little bit further?
I am not currently in a union. I have been in unions.
Okay.
I was in the stagehands union for a little while.
Okay.
And that was circumstantial. It's really because I needed to be. But I may be joining the NABIT broadcast union
Okay.
because I have been doing a bit of TV recently, and that's been a lot of fun.
Oh, cool. Okay. Yeah,
But
I
yeah,
know a little bit about IATSE, but I know they're more for the live event stuff.
they're pretty live. I mean, we have at the TV studio, IATSE is in there also,
Okay.
but the union for the engineering side. In many studios is a NABIT.
Okay, gotcha.
And I've been doing enough work actually at, I've been working at ABC
Yeah,
here in the city, but I've been
you're
doing
probably
enough work that I'm
overqualified for it. With almost 30 years of experience, you could
well, yeah, as far as they're concerned, 30 years is just getting started. So
Wow.
but yeah, it's I've been there enough that I think I'm going to have to join the union. I'm not sure.
And do you have any upcoming projects or exciting goals in mind for this upcoming year, personally or professionally?
Yeah, there's all sorts of stuff going on. I'm going back out on the road. I just got home actually a couple of days ago, but I'm going back out soon. I tour with a band called Little Feet. And they're pretty
Nice.
cool. They're an older rock and roll band. They were early in on kind of the jam scene. They were one of the bands that kind of started that. I don't actually consider themselves to be jam band myself because they have songs that have starts and ends and there's solo sections in the middle.
Sure.
People seem to think they're a jam band. But they've been great to work with. I've been with those guys for about 2 years now. So yeah, continuing to tour with them. Just finished that project. I think you just had Caitlin Richards on. I just finished a project with her. And yeah, there's a lot of stuff coming on. Not a lot of stuff I can talk about.
And I guess as we wrap up our episode, any other tips or recommendations that you'd like to share for aspiring professionals that want to be in your shoes or anything else exciting in your world in producing, recording, or being a live sound engineer?
I mean, the best tip I think I'd give anybody would be to spend more time listening than talking.
Yep.
Sobriety is helpful. Yeah, those are probably the two most important things I would say.
Great. This all sounds awesome. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I mean, as far as anything coming up, like, yeah, there's a lot. I'm working on a lot of stuff.
Okay.
Artists like you to not talk about
Yeah,
stuff.
they don't
Labels
like
like you
to
to
discuss.
keep a lid on it until it's time, till they decide. But lots of cool stuff happening. We're open for business. If there's any musicians that looking to have some work done, you can reach us at alaaudio.com.
Well, thank you,
Yeah.
Andrew, for being on the podcast. Wishing you great success in this 2024 season and looking forward to seeing you mix and produce more artists in the Queens and New York City area.
Great. Happy to be here.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest, I mean coolest, upcoming episodes that you will hear. Email at mediaindustryguru podcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Casts, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.